This is Matt Rogers from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, okay, hold on, I got a new favorite food.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie Mayo.
Yeah, it's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it at the grocery store.
And this mayo is different.
Mm-hmm. Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything. Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And now the quick pass down the middle, breaking in, and a backhand stop by Chris Mason. And Marlowe with a 2-on-1, a 3-on-1, and what a stop by Mason. Chichu right in front, and what a stop on Ekman by Mason.
And goal number 3, Chris Mason.
Ah, yes. We are ready. Back here on the DDC, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Chris Mason is on with us. I've missed that. I haven't heard that in a while. C-Mace, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I just totally got Elijah. The first time he called me, I just said, hi, you've reached the offices of Chris Mason. I'm unavailable at this current time. Please call back. Please leave a message over. And he hung up on me. Just as I was about to say, I said, just kidding.
I haven't been bamboozled by the fake voicemail greeting since high school. It's been since high school since I've fallen.
Oh, that's good. My voicemail, in high school and college, my voicemail was, hey, what's up? And then they start talking and hear me go, all right, well, I'm not here right now, so leave me a message. Anyway, so Chris, we didn't have you on to talk voicemails, even though that was really funny. So well done by you. But we're about a week and a half, 2 weeks away from free agency opening up, and Philip Forsberg has not signed a deal. There's been reports that, his camp is willing to go the low eights on an 8-year deal. Obviously, I would think some trade protection is thrown in there too, but both sides have said they want to be together. You know it's a negotiation. David Poile said last week that they're approaching a deadline, so something's going to have to give, and usually that happens when you approach a deadline. But what's kind of been your thoughts since the season ended and we've gotten into the offseason and there's still no deal with Philip Forsberg?
Well, I mean, my thought is it's still going to get done, and this is a typical negotiation, although, in an ideal world, everybody would like to have it wrapped up and done, but both sides, for the Predators in particular, I think they feel really strong about having that extra year that they can offer Forsberg, which nobody else can. Obviously, the max would be 7 if he went to free agency. He likes it here. He wants to be here. They like him. It's a really good fit. He's coming off just an incredible year. So I really feel it's all part of the process, as painful as it is. I really do think it's going to be done. I think if Forsberg is saying that number, I think that's definitely a fair number for, the production that he had and what he brings to the table. But, you get down to this point and I guess the gap closes and keeps getting tighter. But it's one of those things that I think, it may benefit, management the longer it goes. And at the end of the day, Phil's going to have to make a decision. Does he want to be here? Or does he want to go try and test free agency and try to go through that whole process? And I know from being through this, obviously not, the numbers or term that Phil is talking about here, but it's not always greener on the other side. But at the same time, as a player, you want to get your value. He's had a great career still. A young player, he's in the prime of his career, so I understand he wants to maximize his value because, at the end of the day, this is, one shot at this you know, that big contract that, that he's earned. So I still think it's going to be done, but this is the, this is the, I guess, the standoff, if you will, these two teams, or these two guys, just Forsberg and the organization, throwing their cards on the table and then just waiting down to the last minute so, so each side can get the best deal possible. It's just the way it goes.
Negotiations like this, you know, typically don't come into the locker room, and obviously the players are scattered about right now during the off season. But from somebody that has been on a team that knows that, you know, there's one of your big time players is going through this, what, how much uncertainty kind of hangs over the team as a whole, on top of the fact that you know that there are going to be some guys that aren't back, and that your team's going to look different because that's what happens every year?
Well, I think at the end you said it is different every year, and that's part of, you know, being professional sports, and it is part of the business. And, you know, I know everybody is going to want to have Phil back, and that's ideally what, you know, the best case scenario for everybody. And but at the end of the day, you know, you've got, everyone's got their job, so it doesn't come into the locker room. Obviously, everybody's aware of what's going on and probably keeping tabs on it now, especially in the off season. Getting closer to that deadline, you know, just starting to look forward to next season and all that stuff. Because if they don't, you know, if they don't sign Phil, they're going to have to replace him. So there's, you know, free agents out there that, you know, are pretty attractive and could be a good fit. So you start kind of looking at that. But I think, you know, first and foremost, the guys obviously want to have Forsberg signed back. It's just everybody's got their own thing going on and their own negotiations to worry about. Yeah, it's not something that really comes into the locker room a lot.
Now, see, Mace, you've been around this team forever, and you've, you know, seen them when they were at their peaks, and obviously when they were not, and then you've seen sort of this competitive transition as Poile coined it. How far do you believe? And I'm not, and this has nothing to do with Philip Forsberg, but how far away do you think this team is from truly competing for a Stanley Cup, not making it to the playoffs, because they've done that, even with a team that many thought wasn't going to make it to the playoffs. They did it this year. But how far do you think they are from truly competing for a Stanley Cup?
I think they're a ways away. I really do. I think, you know, there's some flexibility of what they can add, I think, in the offseason. And that will probably be the biggest indicator. I think obviously getting Forsberg would be a big step, you know, in kind of solidifying your core guys and your star players. But I really think they, if they want to, you know, be in that cup contention conversation, they definitely need, so, you know, another big top six guy. They need another top four defenseman, and that's, you know, that they don't come cheap. So you're going to have to, you know, get out the pocketbook and write some checks in the off season and try to sign some guys. And I think, you know, if they address some of those areas that I think would put them in, you know, entering the conversation, I think we'd have a more realistic kind of assessment of where this team is in terms of actually competing for a Stanley Cup. But I really do think they need another, you know, this is with Forsberg signed. I think they need another top six guy that's a proven guy that can put the puck in the net and give some support up on the top two lines, and they need another top four defenseman if they, you know, realistically want to compete. We saw what, you know, Colorado did to everybody this year. You know, they didn't just run through the Preds; they basically ran through everybody. And, you know, Tampa gave them a good push, but they, you know, pretty much dominated, you know, the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions. And you know, the Preds are definitely not in that category right now, so they've got a lot of roster work, I would say, and then hopefully the, you know, the young players that have continued to develop, and that's another huge part of, you know, if they're going to be in that conversation as well. But they've got a ways to go, I think, but not too far off, depending on, you know, the moves they make this summer and some of the pieces they add.
Now, if the speculations are true, as far as what Philip Forsberg is the ballpark he's asking for, the, you know, mid eights, low eights, whatever the case may be. If indeed they don't get this deal done, how much blowback do you think this team, mainly Poile, will get? Because if it's right at 8 or 8.5, let's say that, then you're going to see, you're going to hear many Preds fans say, well, why didn't you get this deal done, you know, during the season, if indeed it was mid to low eight?
Yeah, I mean, I would expect some lashback for sure, you know, if that price range, because if you look at, you know, some of the comparables in the league. He's definitely in that category. But again, if that doesn't materialize, which I'm, you know, I think it will, and I've got no inside information on that, but I think that, you know, it just makes sense. A lot will have to do with who they add and who they replace him with, I think. But, you know, I if that's the number, and I don't know, that's kind of what's out there right now, that low eight range. I mean, that's a fair number. And again, we don't know if there's any, you know, movement clauses and those types of things, as Chase mentioned earlier, you know, some of those details. And, you know, they're trying to get the best deal possible so they can give them more flexibility to maybe add another piece or two and still be under the cap, because they do have that that luxury, which a lot of teams don't. So I definitely think, though, if they don't get it done, you know, they're going to hear about it for sure. It's just natural, but it'll, you know, they're going to have to, there's some other players out there too that are available, and just have to see how it shakes out.
Catching up with Chris Mason, talking Nashville Predators, NHL, and Mace, one of the things you pinpointed going into the series between the Predators and the Avalanche in the first round of the playoffs is, you know, the question mark might have been toughness and goaltending. I thought it was interesting. They won the whole thing. They lost only four games the entire trip, 16-4. They even had injuries to Darcy Kemper. And they didn't. They never really did show that they had a guy that was going to get under your skin and be one of those, you know, tough playoff guys. And still, they were that good. It must be nice to be so good that you can have just, you know, solid goaltending, not spectacular, and still win and go 16-4.
It really was. It was incredible what they did, and it just shows you how good that team is. And you know, you always hear the cliche, let your star players be the star players. Well, they're full of star players. And I mean, Cale Makar was just out of this world. Nathan MacKinnon, Devin Taves is awesome. You know, up and down that lineup, the depth guys, Kadri, when he was in, I think they just had the best overall team, you know. And when you can play at the level and have the ability to hold on to the puck and play at that level of speed, it's tough. You know, toughness will only get you so far. You have to be able to take the game in that direction. And, you know, we saw in the Pred series, they weren't able to do that. You know, some of the other teams that tried to do that weren't able to do that. They just skate so well. They get the puck and they move it up the ice. It's tough. You can't chase this team around and try to hit them all over the place, because then they'll just run you into the ground, which they did when teams started to do that. But they had enough of their players that, you know, can handle the load physically. Makar can hang physically. They have some, you know, bigger defensemen that can kind of, Eric Johnson, and, you know, their star players. MacKinnon's a gritty player. Ratman, Landeskog's, you know, tough as nails. Kadri, they had those guys that could, you know, if the game got in that manner in the playoffs, which this playoffs, I'll tell you, I've never seen scoring like this. It was just absolutely crazy what went on, especially in that first round, but kind of continued throughout the playoffs too. And, you know, that team is just built for it. The depths of that was one of the best teams I think I've ever seen, and maybe one of the most dominant playoff performances by a team in a long, long time. And, you know, the game, I guess, in playoffs, you know, you do need that level of physicality, because depending on your opponent, you know, that's going to serve you well. But, you know, there was just no answer for the Avalanche this season. No one had an answer. You know,
I do think it was one of the best teams of the salary cap era, for sure. Before we let you go, Mace, tell people what's going on this weekend, and I wish I could join you. I'm down here in Birmingham. We got the travel ball circuit going on for young Mahoney Donick here at the perfect game. But there's some pickleball going on this weekend you're going to be involved with.
Yes, and this is going to be a blast. It's called the Great American Music City Pickleball Fest, and that's on the 2nd and 3rd, which is Saturday and Sunday. And it's just trying to create awareness and just try to grow this sport even more. And it's got some clinics going on. I think it goes from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. on both Saturday and Sunday. And there's going to be some indoor pro courts, which celebrities will be paired up with pros, and they're going to have games, they'll have clinics, and there's a beer garden there, and there's a bunch of activities going on. So if anybody wants to come down to Centennial Sportsplex and watch me dust off the paddle, I got to get back. I've been playing a little bit more. I've been playing a little bit more here the last couple weeks, getting ready for this. So it should be a blast. And Willie, you know how much we love it. We got to start bringing our paddles on the road again.
Yeah, we got to make a comeback. The pickleball injury set me back a little bit, but I really wish I could be a part of this. And they are going to keep growing this. They are trying to build the entire pickleball community here. It's already pretty big, but it's kind of unify everybody. So I hope people get a chance to go out there this weekend.
Yeah, it's fun. And, it's a sport, honestly, that anybody could play, right? Young, old. It doesn't matter if you've ever picked up a paddle. It's one of those ones that everybody can play and enjoy. And everybody that really comes on a road trip, we'd always get to play. The next thing they do is they're buying pickleball paddles for the whole family. And everybody plays. It's just such a fun game, and it's easy to get into in a great community. So if anyone's out, come down to Centennial and say hi.
All right. C-Mace joining us here on 102.5 The Game. And we will come back with a lot more. We will continue to hash this out. We'll let C-Mace go, and let me tell you about Lone Pronto in the meantime. Lone Pronto, of course, at this time of the year, they know with the economy the way that it is, there's some opportunities out there with your home's equity. You might be sitting on a pile of money right now, and you can use it to pay off the high-interest credit cards, other things that might be out there, a car loan, something like that. And so really, that's the move that a lot of people are making right now. Whether you do a whole loan refinance or take advantage of their all-new equity line of credit program, either option is going to let you unlock your equity and get a big check. Get the cash out, pay off the credit cards, do that home improvement project, get your down payment for a new home, or stash away for a safety net. All of this can be done by calling up Loan Pronto right now. It makes unlocking your equity very, very easy. Even with a home equity line, you can access up to 97% of your home's value. So don't let all that home equity pile up. Turn your house into an ATM machine and use that money where you need it. Get yourself some credit card debt-free feelings. Call Loan Pronto now at 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. That's 615-499-5780. Equal housing lender. NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
DDC, and yes, it is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York-certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason, Willie Donick, Elijah Campbell with you. Appreciate Chris Mason for jumping on. Good to catch up with C-Mace about some things going on with the Predators as we continue on Forsberg watch. And if that deal will in fact get done before July 13th and free agency opens. But I'm curious of this because we've talked about the other moves that need to be made. The draft is July 7th is when it starts. That's the first round. Mm-hmm. And we'll actually have a special draft show here on 102.5,
106.3
The Game.
Mace and I will both be a part of,
by the way. Yes, you and Mace will be a part of that. Robbie Stanley will be a part of that. Could have some others as well. So putting all that together. But David Poile has been known to make some moves or start making some moves at the draft, and I feel like no matter what happens with Forsberg, that is going to be the case. I think Dylan David is, and Willie, I don't know if you were on when I've said this, but I've said this a few times with Darren now. I think David's going to make a big move. I think a splashy move is coming for the Nashville Predators this offseason, and I think it could very well start at the draft.
Wouldn't surprise me. You heard Mace lay it out. Really, when you get down to it, if you want to circle two things, and these are not the easiest things to get, so you're going to have to show some creativity, and you might have to give up some assets to do it. It may not just be signing two free agents, but I think you're looking to upgrade your top four defense, and you're looking to add a top six forward. And I think, is it realistic? Well, I think it's realistic because, again, this is all with plan A, as Forsberg on your top line. You had a legitimate top line. Now, I think it's fair to say, can you get that same domination by the top line that you got this past year? Hopefully, but I don't know if it could be as good. But that top line last year, whether you put Ryan Johansson or Mikael Granlund on the first line, Duchesne, Forsberg, and that center, that was a legit NHL first line. And that's saying something because you look through the history of the Predators, they haven't always had a first line that you could truly say was elite, but that was a really good first line. So you're trying to fix the second line, which is a little easier to do than find the first line. So you're really looking for a second line boost that you can find in different ways. That's one. And then again, maybe not throwing all of your resources at it, but setting aside a reasonable budget somewhere to address your top four defense with one more guy, then I think you got a pretty good looking defense core top to bottom if you can do that. So it's two spots. So I would definitely think David Poile is looking at a lot of different options for that, and it may well be wheeling and dealing, looking around during the draft to make a swap.
From the defensive side of things, is, and I'm double checking to make sure I have this right, and I do, John Klingberg to me could be an option. You like that?
I think to get a John Klingberg, you're probably going to have to pay. Now, he's an unrestricted free agent. You don't have to trade for John Klingberg. Yep. But I think he is going to be a very sought-after defenseman that's going to cost you, and he's going to be looking for one of those long-term deals. That's what he was not able to get from Dallas. So he might be, in my mind, a little rich for the Predators' blood. And he's also a skilled defenseman. And I think the Predators might be looking a little bit more for that. I'm just throwing this out there. The perfect guy to me would be somebody who could be a little bigger, stronger, the stay-at-home guy that might be great to play with Roman Josi. And you would then have Dante Favreau to maybe either play with Ekholm or play on the third pair with a Jeremy Luzon. And Dante Favreau, who I don't think is done developing, can continue to grow and become an even better player. I don't know that he's the ideal partner for Roman Josi. I think you look at the second pair with Matthias Ekholm and Alex Carrier, I think you got a pretty darn good pair there. And I'm not saying you have to do it that way. You could move Carrier up to play with Josi and put the right partner for Ekholm in there as well. So what I'm saying, Chase, is I think Klingberg is going to be a high-cost defenseman there, and I don't know if they're going to budget that. Could they still do that, sign Forsberg and add a top six? That would be pretty expensive to do all of that.
So coming up next, I want you to give me a couple names that you think are realistic, whether it's free agency or trade, you know, with what you're talking about, because you've laid out the needs. We know the needs that they have for the Predators, because a texter threw out some names and using the offer sheet, which I don't think David Poile is going to do, but I'll throw those out. Coming up next is you listen to the DDC on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. 102.5, 106.3, The Game, The DDC, Chase McCabe, Derek Mason, Willie Donick, hanging out with you, Elijah Campbell, on the ones and twos, as well as we're talking Predators and the free agent plan outside of just Philip Forsberg. And Willie, we got this text earlier from an unnamed texter. Poile should offer sheet Robertson and Hintz from Dallas. That forces the Stars to choose who sign, and either of them would be a good fit for the Preds. Now, Hintz still has a year before he's a restricted free agent, so he couldn't do that. He'd have to get him via trade this offseason, which I don't see Dallas trading Rupe Hintz as much as I love Rupe Hintz and would love for him to be a Predator. But I also don't see him going the offer sheet route because he's been burned by that before. We obviously know having to match to keep Shea Weber, who he ultimately ended up having to trade. But what do you think? Do you think that the offer sheet, whether it's Robertson or somebody else, could be an option?
I don't think it would be Robertson. Because the Stars, they would match anything you would put out there for Robertson. I think a lot of people have wondered, and first of all, I agree with you, that I don't think David Poile likes the offer sheet thing to begin with. He just doesn't like being on either side of it. What a lot of people have wondered is, with the salary cap as tight as it is right now, it's only going up $1 million. There's a lot of teams that are up against it. If you are and the Stars are one of those teams, by the way. If you are calculated about making an offer to a restricted free agent and having them sign an offer sheet, there might be some teams that are just not in a position to match it. What happened last year was interesting in that Carolina signed away a player from Montreal simply because Montreal didn't have the cap space to match the offer. They made the offer so high. They overpaid for Jesperi Kotkaniemi, right? He's a young player who had sort of underachieved, that they saw a lot of potential in. They overpaid to get him for 1 year and then signed him long term, and Montreal did not match the offer. So I do think it's becoming a little bit more of a tool that you can use. I think what maybe is more realistic is, let's just take and throw out a name for an example. In Winnipeg, Pierre-Luc Dubois has basically told them, according to Elliot Friedman, I'm not coming back. I'm a restricted free agent. You've got me until I'm a free agent, and then I'm gone. So maybe there's a time, maybe there are teams that call the Jets and say, okay, he's gone in a couple years. Maybe he wants to play for us. What do you want for him now? And you trade rather than do the offer sheet thing. Does that make sense?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
I think there's going to be a lot of that going on. There's a lot of restricted free agents. We talked about Kevin Fiala. He's one of them. Matthew Tkachuk is a restricted free agent. I don't know what's going to happen with Johnny Gaudreau, but I do think Matthew Tkachuk would be a really attractive guy.
Can I tell you like a dream scenario? And again, yeah, I don't know how you make all this work. I'm just telling you, this is the dream scenario. You keep Forsberg, you work some sort of trade to get Matthew Tkachuk, and then you sign Nazem Kadri as a free agent, and you add skill and a lot of you know what and vinegar to your group.
Now, I think if you do the math on the three salaries there, I don't know if the Predators – I know they have a lot of cap space. I'm not sure they have that much.
Right.
To get all three. But could you get two of those three? That, sure. I think, you know, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to – in the deal for Tkachuk, you're probably moving somebody.
And D-Mace, here's the thing about the restricted free agents. They tend to be younger. Mm-hmm. So the trade-off is – you're getting them at the prime of their career. For example, here are some of the restricted free agents of note. Brock Besser, 25 years old. Kevin Fiala, 25. Tkachuk, 24. Pierre-Luc Dubois, I think, is 23 or 24. Now, the downside is you got to give up significant assets to get one of those guys. But if you're going to pay, you pay for the prime years of their career. So I think that's interesting. Whereas Kadri, how old is Kadri? Chase, 29? The unrestricted guys tend to be 28, 29, more like Philip Forsberg's age range.
Nazem Kadri, let's see. Burakovsky's 27. He's somebody I'd be. Kadri's 31.
Oh, Kadri's 31. Okay, yeah. So he's even older. You just mentioned Burakovsky.
I think he's
going to be really intriguing. Valanciunas had a great, great playoff, a great season overall. He's going to be really intriguing. So the Avalanche are going to lose a couple of these guys. They might be able to keep one of those three, but they're going to lose some of them, and a lot of people think that Kadri would be one of them.
My thing on Kadri is, like, he pisses a lot of people off, and there's a lot of people that don't like him, but he's kind of like that Ryan Kessler that we hated Ryan Kessler here in Nashville, but if you have a player like that that gets under the skin of a team, like you would love to have that on your team.
And you Kadri, love him on your team. You
Kadri
hate him
is
when he's
one
not.
Of those guys.
But what would you pay for a 31-year-old?
It all depends on what you need. I mean, what purpose
many,
does he
about
serve?
How many years? How many years? Like because he just came off a career year. He just won a cup. So
he had 87 points, 28 goals. He was making 4.5.
For 4 years?
I wouldn't go beyond 4 years.
Six for four? I mean,
that's yeah.
24 over four?
Yeah, I mean, Mace is right around. If I could get him for 4 years at 5.5 per, I would I would do it, but he's probably going to command six. But I wouldn't go over 4 years.
Nah.
Hmm. Would you?
What do you guys
Willie?
Think of? See, he's a center. One of the questions I'd have to ask is, you know, how do I feel about Mikhail Granlund the next 3 years? He seems to be the right guy. He's a productive center. So how do you move the pieces around if you bring in a Kadri? You're going to want to play him in the top six. Do you move Granlund over to wing? You can.
Yeah.
You know, that you could do that with those two players mesh. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people have thrown out a guy like Nino Niederreiter, who is another very edgy player. He has played a lot with Granlund back in their days as younger players with Minnesota. That would seem to be an intriguing guy that's out there. And you could keep Granlund at center in doing that. So there's a lot of ideas out there. But I think the most intriguing one would be, you know, do you really make a big play for one of these guys that's a little bit younger? Because look at it this way. Granlund, a lot of people have noted this. Granlund, Josi, Johansson, Ekholm, all in their low 30s now. So are you going to add another guy like Kadri, who's already in that category? Would you like to balance it with another guy that's more in those mid-20s to keep the age range staggered a bit more? To me, ideally, that's what I'd like to have, but it's going to cost you.
I think there are two ways to look at it, because I don't think you're wrong with that. But if I'm looking at it from – and I mean what I'm about to say as respectfully as I possibly can. Uh-huh. If I look at it from the eyes of a 71-year-old general manager that has never won the Stanley Cup,
I'm
kind of going for it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do what it takes to make the team better, which I know is his goal. Like he said as much. He wants to give John Hines the pieces to succeed. Now, if I'm looking at it from how he has looked at it, of you do have to look at the league, and the league is getting faster and the league is getting younger. You have to obviously play that card too. I agree with what you're saying. Adding a 31-year-old center that's going to cost you probably $6 million a year is not the way to go about doing that. It's can you work a trade where you get a younger player?
It might be fine for a year, but you know, you have to look 3-4 years down the road, even if you're 71 and you're David Poile. And I give him credit. He's always been responsible with that. He has never been – there's plenty of GMs and plenty of sports that are like, you know what, I'm going for it now, and if I get fired or if I retire, it's the next guy's problem. I'm not worried about it. But I just think if you have too many guys that are all aging at 31, 32, 33 together, you look up in another year or two and you got an old team. And I think he's done a great job the last 2 years of realizing that, mm-hmm, and turning over the roster to younger players, right? That's where the Ellis trade, the Arvidsson trade, the Bonino trade, allowing Craig Smith to go to free agency, trading Austin Watson. He avoided the team getting too old, and he's turned them into one of the younger teams in the league.
Well, he shouldn't have a problem going to get a guy that's 31 and signing him to a 4-year deal, because essentially you have a young roster. And I understand, you know, hey, listen, I don't want to, you know, have my roster consist of a bunch of older individuals. I understand that part, but you've done that work, so your roster isn't a older roster. If you look at it now, so adding a older guy now, it's not like you're adding an older guy to an old roster.
Right. True. Right. Very true.
Right.
You know, so to me, you gotta go for it. If he's like a missing piece after you find, if you sign Philip Forsberg, and he's that other missing piece, and he's 31, so be it.
Yeah. The thing is, I do believe if you look at this as just straight up free agency, unrestricted free agency, yeah. I mean, there's obviously some good players out there, but it's the RFAs and the trades that you can make that I think make this offseason intriguing. And Willie, you said it best, that you know there are going to be some teams that aren't going to have a choice because of the cap jail that they're going to be in. And so that's where I believe David Poile is going to be active and be able to add some players. I mean, you know, Andre Palat's out there as an unrestricted free agent that would be good. Is Tampa able to keep him? There are some options for the Predators outside of Philip Forsberg, and you hope that they are in addition to Philip Forsberg. Coming up next, we'll put a bow on today's show, wrap this conversation up, talking about the Preds, as you listen to the DDC here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 7:05 on 94.9 The Fan as the Sounds face the Indianapolis Indians, AAA affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates at First Horizon Park. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Welcome back into the DDC. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Elijah Campbell with you. And I'm very sad because tomorrow is Elijah's last day with us.
Yes.
At 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. I have sent out a memo that we are not to celebrate that at all. In fact, we're just going to kick him out at 2 o'clock. So. Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
I saw some champagne bottles in the break room. I was wondering what those were for.
They're not for you. Just kidding. We are going to miss you, though, but glad we get one more day with you. So we were going through some, you know, different scenarios and free agents, mm-hmm. and I think we're going to talk about this a lot over the next 2 weeks. But how clear is the picture going to look after, you know, especially the first round of the draft? I mean, we've also seen David Poile be busy on day two of the draft. That's when he was able to trade PK Subban, you know, when it got to the point where it was time to start retooling and, you know, moving some pieces around to, you know, after they lost to Dallas, and that happened on day two. That's when, you know, that move happened. But like I said, I see him being active at the draft, but how active is he going to be with the actual draft? Is he going to be moving some of these picks, or do you think that David Poile's thought process is, I want to help now, but I also got to keep refilling the cupboard for the future?
Corey Pronman, who is with The Athletic, wrote a piece during the season assessing each team's farm system right now. And he had the Predators, I was very encouraged by this. He had them up to, I think, around number 12. In the rankings. I don't know that you're sitting there looking at the farm system right now saying you got two or three guys who are on the roster right now, they're going to be stars. The intriguing one to most people is Luke Evangelista, who had the huge year in juniors. He's the one whose stock changed a lot. Now, does that mean that in a couple years he's a guy that's going to become, you know, what they need, a top six guy, goal scorer, electrifying guy? I don't know, but you might have something there. What do you feel, honestly, is the real assessment of guys like Cody Glass and Phil Tomasino, who are among the top prospects on that list right now for Pronman? That's an important thing. But to answer your question, Chase, if you're looking hard at trying to make a move via trade, that first-round pick is something you have to maybe mm-hmm. wrestle with trading, right? If you know, maybe you trade next year's first round pick instead. But you know, if you're going to go in there to draft day and you want to wheel and deal, you might have to shop that first round pick.
You shop it, move yourself down to the bottom of the first round and get a second round pick.
Potentially, I mean, it's a little. I think if you're moving that pick, mm-hmm. you're trying to get a player. Okay. I mean, that's what I think you're trying to do. It's different. You know, than the NFL, that I think if he's trading that pick,
a player
is coming back.
Yeah.
And it's a player that's going to help him now. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's trading that for a prospect or anything like that. It's somebody to help him now. And
I'll give you one that happened a couple years ago that's still paying dividends. The Blues made a deal and got Braden Schenn from the Flyers on draft day. And that turned them 2 years later into a champion. You know, Braden Schenn, that was a great, great trade for the Blues. I'm just illustrating times that, you know, you trade a pick, but you get the immediate help from a team that is trying to build for down the road.
Yeah, and so I think that's probably what he could end up doing if it's the right deal. And, I mean, some of these names that we've thrown out there that would have to be acquired via trade, it's going to take a first-round pick, and it's probably going to take a good player off the roster. I mean, you referenced it earlier. James Neal, that trade, and Patrick Hornquist. That one stung a little bit because Patrick Hornquist was a good young player. He'd become a fan favorite, but he fit the Barry Trotz system. I don't know if he necessarily didn't fit, but it was James Neal was more of a Peter Laviolette system type player. That's why David Poile made that move. And I think you could potentially see that, that there could be a player that gets sent away, and it's not because, oh, we have to get rid of this player. It's because you got to give something to get something, and that's the tough part.
Yeah, I'll throw a possibility. I don't know. Again, this is no inside info, but Luke Cunningham is an interesting one to me. He's a reasonable priced young player who might have another level to him. But, and you have his rights as a Predator right now. But if you're looking for a top six splash, Luke Cunningham played in your top six for most of the year. You have a really unique, dynamic third line that you kind of like together in Trennan, Sissons, and Janot. So Luke Cunningham doesn't really fit there. So could you shop Cunningham around, you know, to free up some cap space? I'm not saying you would trade him for a top six guy, but you might move him one place, get a couple assets, use those assets, and free up the cap space to go make the splash that you're looking for. I'm just throwing that out there as a possibility. There's Tolvanen as well as another guy that you might throw out there. Although I still feel like there's optimism from the group that Tolvanen is not going to be a guy that you give up on yet, but we'll see.
So I will say this, and you may say that this is a hot take. You may say that I'm spot on. I don't see Eli Tolvanen and Luke Cunningham both being on this roster next year. I think one is gone.
I think that's a reasonable, plausible thing.
I think one of them is gone
right now. Just from when you start filling in the spots on the roster, it's hard to see them both there. If you want to add what I think everybody thinks they would like to add, that's a true top six guy.
Yeah, and my thing with Cunningham is, for whatever, I think he's a good player, but for whatever reason, it just hasn't fit. He just hasn't really worked the way that they hoped that he would. And I don't know if they thought he was more versatile than he actually is, or it's just a system thing. I mean, you guys know this. Sometimes there's just a player that he works someplace and he doesn't work another.
I think he brings a lot to the table. I think he's a very good player that had nothing go right for him this year. I easily think he could bounce back and be a very good player in the right spot. But this team needs an established top six guy. And I don't know that you can count on him there. But I think if he goes to another place, I think he could be a good, solid third-line player that can score you 18 to 20 goals. I think he could absolutely do that, and for a pretty reasonable price. So I think that could be attractive to somebody.
Okay, I'm going to ask you one more player, because I've had a friend ask me about this guy several times.
So you're asking for a friend.
I'm asking for a friend.
Okay.
And you have brought him up before. I am not – I think Kevin Fiala has developed into a much better player than he was when he left here, because he was young. He was very young when he left. Do you think that there is a chance that they could be reunited and it feels so good, or do you think that ship has sailed?
I haven't asked anybody about how they feel about that. I think Kevin Fiala is still the same person, very mercurial. I think he's more mature. And I think, man, the highs are high. He's unbelievable. Let me put it this way. I think if you put an offer sheet out there for Kevin Fiala, whether you're the Predators or anybody else, I don't think the Wild can match it. And they have had all kinds of opportunities to re-sign Kevin Fiala, and they haven't done it. So they're not enamored with him. They've signed all these other guys. They haven't signed Kevin Fiala. So I think he will be on another team next year. No question about it. So I don't know how the Predators feel about the second go-round with him. They've done it with other players. But that's an intriguing one to me.
We'll see. See how it all shakes out. Hey, good show today. Good to be in here with you guys. D-Mace will be back at it with us tomorrow, as will Willie.
Mm-hmm.
And so will I. And we'll celebrate Elijah, maybe. Or I'll just cry because I don't know what I'm going to do. The suit isn't going to know what he's going to do for a while, but that's okay. Deshaun Watson, all of that situation is still ongoing. What is going to happen with that? Caroline and Adam Vingan will be discussing that on Stillman & Company. Coming up next, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.